With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
A little bit of an overall supply is increasing about 3 million tons this month, reflecting both that 1.5 million ton increase in production and a 1.5 million ton increase in our carry-in, reflecting some back-year adjustments on Brazil and India's feed use. So we're carrying in a little bit more this year than we were expecting last month.
Mark Jackanowski is chairman of USDA's World Ag Outlook Board on the latest March WASD.
And ending stocks raised this month, global ending stocks up 3.8 million tons, and that reflects higher stocks in Brazil, Ukraine, and India, partially offset by lower ending stocks in Argentina, reflecting their smaller crop floor production there.
On the oilseed side, USDA raising soybean imports and crush, but leaving ending stocks unchanged at 350 million bushels. Soybean price outlook held at 1020 per bushel, soy meal prices increasing, and bean oil prices edging higher. And for wheat, USDA made no changes, but did raise the season average farm price a nickel to $4.95 per bushel. For cotton, projections unchanged domestically. No revisions to the U.S. balance sheet or price outlook, but globally, production up more than 1.1 million bales on larger crops in Brazil and China. A new federal bridge assistance program for specialty crops is rolled out, but early analysis from Terrain suggests economic losses across the sector will far exceed available funding. USDA announced a $12 billion Farmer Bridge Assistance Program late last year to address market disruptions, inflation, and trade pressures, with $1 billion of that directed to specialty crops through the Assistance for Specialty Crop Farmers Program. It's now being implemented by the Farm Service Agency, but Terrain estimates show that the total crop losses could range from $10 to $30 billion, depending on acreage assumptions, leaving payments likely to cover only a small share of actual losses. For producers, depressed prices tied to the pandemic disruptions, rising production costs, and ongoing trade uncertainty continues to weigh on margins. Looking ahead, producers will have to report or verify acreage by the deadline. USDA expected to announce payment rates later in the month. Weather concerns and steady export demand shaping wheat markets as spring approaches. Analysts are watching the drought conditions across the plains. Dr. Mark Welch is a Texas A&M AgriLife Extension economist, says winter wheat conditions slipped slightly across key production states over recent weeks. Kansas ratings easing from earlier levels. Colorado showing sharper declines. For producers, drought coverage across the southern plains continues to expand, with limited precipitation expected across much of the region except in the eastern areas. So at the same time, export demand offering support, with U.S. wheat commitments running ahead of the normal pace for this point in the marketing year, and Gulf shipments remaining strong. This is Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
This is Agriculture Today.
Number one, we need and we applaud the Trump administration for this, is looking to strike new trade agreements with countries to knock down market access barriers, to try to get purchase commitments from the United States. I think that's all positive. And the administration, I think, has done a good job doing that.
Steven Sinsky is CEO of the American Soybean Association, says soybean growers need a few things when it comes to trade.
Second of all, I think we need stability. You know, there's been just so much turbulence on trade. And I think stability would go a long way. And toward that, providing that stability, of course, the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement is up for review this year. We're pushing hard to make sure that it is extended. We're delivering the message that let's make any tweaks that need to be made, but the underlying agreement is just so, so important to soybean producers, to corn producers, to pork producers, sorghum, everyone across the board. Mexico is our number two export market after China. And so they're extremely important. Canada's our number four meal market. And so we need that stability to keep trade going.
A bright spot for the soy industry has been the thought and anticipation of biodiesel.
Yeah, the biggest thing that could be done to really help the soy industry and all of crop agriculture is finalizing the renewable volume obligations under the renewable fuel standard. They have some very, very good proposed volumes that have been proposed to increase demand. EPA, under this Trump administration, has proposed to increase renewable volumes for bio-based diesel by 60% over what it was set previously. And that's very positive. That would be a huge shot in the arm for the soybean industry because, you know, as we increase demand for biofuels, we have about half of the oil that's coming from soybeans today that goes into the biofuel markets. We've seen a tremendous expansion of soybean crush capacity the last number of years, about 20% over the last 5 years. And it would add value to this price of soybeans, and it would be just very, very good. And so we're pushing hard for the administration to finalize those volumes in a very favorable way. And those would be in place for the next 2 years, and that would be very positive.
Still, it's hard to grow through input cost and negative margins.
Yeah, it's something that we're working on, and it's something that, you know, we've spoken to Secretary Rollins about, and that we're going to continue to push on. Definitely, we know that farmers are caught in a cost price squeeze. We've seen tremendous escalation in input costs. One of the steps that we believe that could be taken, is to exempt agriculture inputs from tariffs. You know, the North Dakota State University has been tracking that. They say that the tariffs have increased the cost of agriculture inputs by, on average, about 10% over what they would have been otherwise. And if we've exempted fertilizer. We appealed to the administration to do that. So fertilizers have been largely exempted, but not pesticides, not machinery parts, not machinery, not seed. And those are the other kinds of agriculture inputs that we would like to have exempted from the tariffs.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Introducing the heavyweight champion of the livestock operation, Case IH Farmall Utility Series Tractors.
Farmall Utility Tractors don't just outweigh the competition. They're engineered to distribute weight where it works, from the transmission, central housing, and axles to the differentials and final drives. So add some weight to your operation and go the distance with Farmall Utility Tractors.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Late last year, the USDA announced a total of $12 billion in Farmer Bridge Assistance Program payments, or FBA program payments, to address market disruptions, elevated input costs, persistent inflation, and market losses from foreign competitors engaging in unfair trade practices impeding exports.
Matt Wolf is an economist with Terrain on how specialty crop farmers might miss out on USDA payments.
The payments are authorized through the Commodity Credit Corporation Charter Act and administered through the Farm Service Agency, or FSA. Of the $12 billion total, $11 billion was allocated to row crops and $1 billion to specialty crops. Payments to row crop producers began in late February and were based on aggregate economic losses in 2025, subject to available funding. The Assistance for Specialty Crop Farmers, or ASCF, program is now being rolled out to distribute the $1 billion allocated for specialty crops. The specialty crop economy will benefit from the additional assistance. While it's difficult to generalize the health of the specialty crop sector across the nearly 100 eligible crops, prices for many specialty crops have remained depressed due initially to pandemic disruptions and ongoing knock-on effects. More recently, tariff announcements have heightened market uncertainty as global trade patterns continue to shift. Compounding these pressures, production costs, already among the highest in the country for California growers, have risen sharply. We derived a rough estimate of aggregate specialty crop losses by piecing together data from USDA, UC Davis, Cornell University, Oregon State University, Washington State University, the University of Hawaii, and several grower organizations. When cost data were unavailable for a specific year, crop sector producer price index data were used to adjust estimates forward in time. There are two conclusions from our analysis. Number one, the total economic loss far exceeds the $1 billion in available assistance by a large margin. According to our estimates, losses could be as high as $10 to $30 billion, depending on whether estimates are based on FSA or NAS, also known as National Agricultural Statistics Service, acreage. The prorating factor, or the share of calculated economic losses that is paid, is around 10% for specialty crops using FSA acreage. Notable crops that are likely to benefit from this program, given recent losses, are almonds, walnuts, apples, and grapes. The USDA, however, will make its own estimates of the economic loss experienced by eligible crops in the subsequent payment rates, which could differ from ours. Conclusion 2. A significant gap appears to exist between the total acres of many specialty crops, as estimated by NAS or LandIQ, and the number of those acres that have been reported to the FSA as of January. Since payments are likely to be made only on acres reported to the FSA, this underreporting could have a significant impact on some farms. Those who report acres by the March 13 deadline have the possibility to receive larger payments if not all acreage is reported. This also suggests that many specialty crop farmers could miss out on federal assistance after experiencing economic losses.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
Everything he's done literally has had a connection to China and his attempt to contain China, I will say.
Arlen Suderman is with StoneX.
And he's doing everything in fast order because after losing the election in 2020 and anticipating, as he always is so confident, that he would get reelected in 2024, and especially when he saw that he had a very narrow margin in Congress, he knew he had only 2 years to get everything done and not 4 years. And so he's been moving very rapidly. And one of his big concerns was containing China, who has said their goal is to become the number one economy. And with that comes the number one military, but they're especially number one economy and the global currency of trade. And so when he goes to Venezuela, it's about China and Iran being in Venezuela, getting access to the rare earth minerals. Greenland, it's about China and Russia. When he goes to Iran, it's also about China. Now, there's other reasons as well. Certainly, when you look at what Iran has done to support the proxy groups and stuff that have been attacking U.S. servicemen and even 9/11 in the United States. But China's behind it. We do have the summit set up, the heads of state summit set up from March 31 to April 2nd. We do anticipate there will be a trade deal coming out of that, because heads of state don't meet unless they have something to champion. We do anticipate commodities will be a big piece of that, but also technology, rare earth minerals, etc. And the very fact that Iran is such a strong partner of China, but yet China's reaction and response to this point has been rather vanilla. And so that would suggest that President Xi, with his problems that he's having internally, his problems are not with the people of China so much as with the communist leadership of China in being able to secure another term. And when he came out of the fourth plenum meeting in October, he sensed that he had significant cracks in his support base, and he started purging the military of anyone who might not he considered not loyal, having 9 high-level officers, including 5 of the top 6 generals, arrested on corruption charges, and the highest legislative body in China backed him up 2 weeks ago in removing them formally from their office. So he is starting to secure that position a little bit stronger now. Simultaneously, we saw the negotiations hit a rough spot ahead of the summit. But I still believe that he needs President Trump right now. President Trump needs President Xi right now ahead of the midterm elections. So there will be a summit. There will be a trade deal. And President Xi and President Trump are walking the line very carefully around all these issues to continue to move forward with a partnership that they need over the next year while also attacking each other around the peripherals.
And the fertilizer situation?
Much of the fertilizer for the Northern Hemisphere is already in position. But it's just like when the first strike on Iran took place, gasoline prices at your local station jumped, even though the gasoline in their tanks was already available at a cheaper price. So even though the supply is largely in position, the price has jumped, and that could certainly impact crop planting mixtures this year, planting decisions, because if a farmer does not have his supplies booked or committed yet, he's still vulnerable to that higher price as a result. And so it will have some impact. That's what the market is currently concerned about. We have large supplies of the food, most all of the food-based commodities right now, but it's more of a concern about the future and disruption of flow at this point that the markets are reacting to.
It's Agriculture Today.
This has been Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
This is Agriculture Today.
It really is such a key relationship for us to work in tandem, because her team gets information from our team. She's the one really going to work to make sure we're opening up market access, and again, has done a tremendous job.
Speaking last month at USDA's Ag Outlook Forum, the Undersecretary for Trade and Foreign Affairs at USDA, Luke Lindberg, on how USDA and USTR work together.
Never in the history of the United States have we had so many wins on opening up new access for our producers in such a short period of time. And really that's been driven by the team at USTR and their incredible work. And then we jump right in on building the buyer-seller relationship. That's where USDA plays an outsized role. The trade missions, the trade promotion programming and funds that we bring to the table. All of the work we do to get farmers on the ground in the countries where Julie and the team have opened up this access is the bread and butter of what the FAS team does at USDA. But then together we work on holding our partners accountable. And that's an important component, because you need to live up to the agreement that you signed with Julie, or the bad cop's going to come back out again. And nobody wants to see, I wouldn't want to be the other country that signs an agreement with President Trump and then doesn't live up to the terms of that agreement, because I don't think the president will look too kindly upon those players out there. And so this should be, at its core, the president believes in reciprocal trade. You win, we win together. And unfortunately, for too long, it hasn't been the case. Julie's helping right the ship with her team at USTR, and then we're helping make sure we deliver on that promise and bring real sales back to rural America.
Julie Callahan is chief ag negotiator with the U.S. Trade Representative's office, talks about getting deals across the finish line.
Many of you have probably seen we have 7 agreements on reciprocal trade that are fully signed. They are fully complete, all of the concessions locked in. We have many other announcements that have come out on joint statements where we're at a point where the contours of the agreement are set, but we need to finalize and get everything locked in on paper. So countries like Indonesia, Vietnam, there's a number of Southeast Asian countries, Latin American countries, where we have made considerable progress. We need to get those over the finish line. So I am fully focused on getting those agreements done. Then we also have a number of emerging markets, sub-Saharan Africa, some trading partners that have the truly egregious trade barriers that have prevented U.S. agriculture from accessing their markets. That really is an untapped set of countries with growing populations. It really offers a lot of opportunity, whereas some of our existing mature markets, we want to make sure we can grow and expand in those markets, but there are many untapped markets that we need to also address in these agreements on reciprocal trade as well. So I will say every country keeps me up at night. I'll be honest. I have a map, you know, that basically the map, instead of having names of cities, it just has all of the trade barriers that we need to tackle. And so we're not going to rest at USTR. We're not going to stop getting on planes and going into countries and really explaining we have a unique opportunity with this administration to break down those barriers and get the market access that U.S. farmers and ranchers deserve.
It's Agriculture Today.
Introducing the heavyweight champion of the livestock operation, Case IH Farmall Utility Series Tractors.
Farmall Utility Tractors don't just outweigh the competition. They're engineered to distribute weight where it works, from the transmission, central housing, and axles to the differentials and final drives. So add some weight to your operation and go the distance with Farmall Utility Tractors.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
Today I want to visit with our dairy producers concerning what we see happening in the milk market and milk supply chain as we go through 2026.
Kansas State dairy economist Dr. Mike Brook.
As we review what we've seen happen in 2025, there have been some bright spots. I know everyone is concerned about the amount of production increase we started to see about mid-year 2025 and how that accelerated as we went through the rest of 2025. And it has had some impacts on our prices and particularly on milk fat, as we've seen a sharp decline in the value of butter fat since mid-2025. And how will that spill over into 2026 and what does that actually mean for our on-farm milk prices? As you try to boil all that down, what do things actually look like? Well, if we look at 2025, it was actually a banner year for exports, as we've seen great increase over 2024. In fact, butter and milk fat shipments were up about 165%. We also saw whole milk powder increase as well, increasing about 56% over the 2024 shipments. And we also saw strong cheese and butter product demand as we looked at what was going out globally. The negative pressure that we actually see on our prices in 2026 is partially due to the increase in production we've seen here in the U.S., but also increases in production in New Zealand as well as the European Union. So as we look to the U.S. and what impact all of this may have on our prices on dairy farms here, there are some bright spots that we might pull from that may help us with this. Exports are going to be a huge part of our price as we move through 2026, so making sure that those maintain a strong demand and the fact that we need to export a lot of the extra product that we're producing is important. However, there are also some bright spots that we see coming on through promotion. Dairy Management Inc. has really worked hard the last 10 years to change the conversation around dairy products. And as we look at some of the things that have happened recently with the whole milk approval for schools, those things are having some impact on our ability to market dairy products here in the United States. And they have some new programs that they're looking to initiate here as we move into 2026 that may help us as well. Dairy Management Inc. and other promotion groups have been very influential in changing the conversation around dairy products. So we've come from a position where we were viewed as very negative on health to actually very positive. And that has been due to the human health research that has been sponsored, at least in part, by some of our promotion groups. Now, moving forward, what does that look like? Well, they'll continue with some of that research, and that's going to be important. But they're also looking at some new things that may help with our demand here in the United States. You know, a lot of times with dairy products, we kind of have tunnel vision. We think maybe that milk is just for kids or cheese is something that we might utilize at dinner. Now, as we think about how this impacts demand, it kind of puts demand into certain categories and really creates some tunnel vision. Dairy Herd Management has reported that DMI will be working on trying to break those things down, and they have some new campaigns. One of those is So Many Reasons for Dairy, just short videos that will hopefully influence the market and have people think about utilizing dairy in different ways maybe than they have in the past.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.